Well, good morning, my brothers.
Amen.
So here we are again, month after month, and this would be actually coming to the second part of Module 10. And as you know, we have 12 modules altogether. And we're already at towards the end of this training at Module 10. Now, I'd like to say something first before we get into Lesson 58. And that is, after this training is over, then what? I don't know whether you ask yourself that question. I certainly ask myself that question. Excuse me, I better put this thing on airplane mode. So it's not a problem. Okay. So, and it would be by December we will have concluded this training of 2 years. Thank the Lord for his sustaining and his guidance throughout this whole time. I think I certainly, as one who is carrying a little bit more burden here, sense the Lord's presence and the Lord's anointing. But where do we go from here? I'd like you to think about it. But on my side, I would have certain consideration, and I'd like to share that with you so that you can pray about it, and you can also consider the matter in your church with your group of brothers, what to do. Well, first of all, I would like to say that there is not a thought in me that after this 2 years training, all of us will be, you know, as I jokingly said, certified, right? Now I got this certificate. I've been through this kind of continuing education program. I pay some money and I got this book and you know what I mean. Then now I'm somehow certified to, I got some extracurricular units, you know. Now I'm qualified to do this and that. I don't have that feeling at all within me. Rather, the burden is to, as we follow the Lord, to have this opportunity for a longer term, 2 year kind of perfecting for a group of brothers. And not all of them are elders, certainly. And you all know that even not all would maybe even be a deacon or something like that. But brothers here who have a heart to serve and are serving in some manner, to afford all of us here in Northern California churches that opportunity to have some foundational, especially in year one. And in year two, some, I would maybe use the word intermediate, matters related to the eldership taught to them. I consider these lessons to be instructions. Instructions particularly from Brother Witness Lee and a lesser way, Brother Watchman Nee. And so, in actuality, the learning of these all these things covered does not really occur here. You know, in this kind of 4 or 5 hour meeting once a month. And I would also even say that it does not really adequately, for sure, occur in your group pursuit, which is part of the requirement of this training. And I hope that you're still doing that, because that constitutes at least 50% of this of these pursuing these lessons. But the real learning, the genuine learning, and the long-term learning eventually have to take place in time. In time. So the results, if there would be results from this kind of a training, I personally would not expect it to be instant, like today. So you all came to the training instantly. You all pick up the things and you know what to do. No. Now, if there are certain instant results or immediate results, I thank the Lord and I praise the Lord. And there should be some. There should be some. One cannot receive these things without being impacted, without being touched, without certain kind of self-adjustment under the Lord shining. That's not just simply could not be. But I'm talking about a substantial learning, a learning that only comes from doing, that only comes from experience, that only comes from time. So what my expectations are in me is that this training is for the long term. I think the coming years, months and years, will be that proof whether these things, this training is successful or not. Whether you have gotten the training or not. There's a certain delay action, if you will, of a training like this. And that would take place in the coming months and years. And my heart is just full of this hope, full of this anticipation, and I would say full of this prayer within me, that by God's mercy, these 2 years of training will produce in Northern California. And in the long term, I would say not just for Northern California, because the Lord may move you. You may migrate. You'll be in some of the parts of the earth. That wherever you will be, whatever situation or church you find yourself in, these lessons will be with you. That you are still learning. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, if the Lord delays, whether you are made an elder, you're not made an elder, you're still in these lessons. You're still learning. You're still under its perfecting. A sister asked Brother Lee, what will happen after you die? Brother Lee said, it's all in the books. Well, in the same principle, I would say, what we have done here is we have culled from the books the very best, the very central lessons and teachings and instructions from the apostle among us, from the minister of this age, among us at least, in the Lord's recovery, the very best, and put together in a rather systematic way. And so it will take our long life to learn these things. Now, I don't doubt that you have picked them up in your mind and understand these things, and to some degree you are quite moved or affected by these things. But I don't trust that. That's just the minimum. That's just the basic. Now you must have a heart. You must give yourself to the Lord, brothers. You must present the rest of your life to the Lord and say, Lord, have mercy on me. That for the rest of my life, I will be learning these lessons. And trust me, it takes the rest of your life to learn these lessons well. And to learn these lessons not for me, not for my sake, not that I can be a better person or a more productive brother, but Lord, for your church, for your people, for the saints, have mercy on me. I pray this way. I have constantly this kind of dealings with the Lord. When you have this kind of a heart, you will always have a kind of hunger within you. You always have a thirst within you. You always have a drive within you, a motivation within you to progress, to improve, to learn, to do better, to deal with yourself, to stand against yourself, to be trained and perfected even more in greater details, not just in general things. The most sorry thing is for any one of us, at some point in our life, we stop learning. We stop improving. We just plateaued. That is not the spirit of the Lord's recovery. So, I have some particular suggestion for you now, and that is when this training concludes in December this year, starting in the new year, 2017, and then 2018, this training will not go on like this. But I hope that the spirit of this training will continue. By what? By you going back to these lessons. Now, you think you got it. Let me tell you, you got this much. In reality, it's this much. You only got this much. That's all. Trust me. Now, I like to suggest for the next 2 years, 2017, 2018, we will not have this kind of monthly training like this. We've done it. But you will go back either by yourself and maybe even better in groups of brothers, to review them again. Now you say, my goodness, what are you doing? We gave you 2 years already. Now you want 2 more years from us. Well, I really mean that, though. Take the next 2 years, maybe go back to lesson one in January. You will, and get into it, you'll say, did we cover that? Where was I? Yeah, you were there. You didn't get it. Or we talk about it in our small group, but we totally did not, we totally missed the point. Then, after another 2 years, That means 4 years, right? 2 years like this, and 2 years for your review. Now I have a little bit more assurance that you are really on your way. In the meantime, all these things, all these lessons, you will apply them. You will apply them. I wouldn't call this a handbook of elders, you know, like a manual for elders. But if there is a manual for elders, I think this is about it. You don't know how much time we spend to glean and cull and collate, curate, whatever the word is, from the abundance of the ministry on this subject matter. I told the brothers this morning that, you know, we, many of us consider the, this book from the 1950s by Brother Lee, called The Elders' Management of the Church, as the classic, you know, the book must read on eldership. Let me tell you, that is not. Even Brother Lee will tell you it is not. That is from the 50s, when Brother Lee was still in his early 50s, when he gave that. He has spoken far too much beyond that since the 50s. In fact, even in the 60s, he did not say that much concerning the eldership. Not even in the 70s. I would say he has much speaking from the 80s and the 90s until he died. And you go read The Elder's Training, book 1, all the way to book 13. Is that right? Or 11, 13. It's all from that era. But the thing is, with all those messages, it's here little, there little, and we put them together. Now, I said just now, this is intermediate. Remember that? This means I would like to put together another 6 modules on an advanced training. But let's not be so ambitious. Maybe in 2019, we will begin an advanced class. But now, what you need to do, brothers, all of you need to do, is to take what you have already. This is too rich. Too rich. Too wonderful. And go and review it. Masticate it. Get into them. Not just for the doctrines, but for the instructions. Not just for fill your head, but to fill your service in the church. And learn these things with a humble spirit. For the younger brothers, for sure, because you have never learned this. But for the older brothers, I say in similarly. You need to humble yourself and learn. Even in your 60s, you have to learn. You have to learn. I just hope that in the long run, not only the churches in the Bay Area will benefit, but the Lord's recovery will benefit from you, brothers, because you have learned these things. We need a whole new group of elders in the Lord's recovery that are perfected and trained and qualified in a very good sense, proper sense, to serve His church. And that is a great, great thing. The Lord's church on the earth. The Lord's testimony. Okay? That is my suggestion, what to do next. What do you think?
Amen.
Brothers, will you consider this? You don't need to sign on any dotted line this morning. Consider this. I want you to consider this. Think about this. Think long term. All right. Now let's come to lesson 58. I'd like to remind you that this module is a critical module of an elder, and that is on contacting people. Now, if you are an elder or leading brother or responsible brother, and you don't have the inclination, you don't have the interest, you don't have the disposition, you don't have the habit to contact people, I would say you're done. You are done. You may be good in business affairs. You may be good in financial matters. You may be good and even faithful in many such things. But you don't contact people, then you cannot be an elder. You are not an elder, regardless what tag you put on yourself. You are not. In reality, you are not. An elder is a people contacting person. His days, his hours, his time are occupied with contacting people of all kinds. So this module is a critical module in the practice of the eldership. And the last three lessons we cover from 55 to 57, we cover the elder's interest or concern in others' spiritual welfare. I mean, brothers, this is why you need to go back again. You might have already forgotten this. And this is heavy. This is deep in its significance. 56 lesson, the purpose of the elder's contact with people. Do you remember all those points? Even brotherly gave us much instruction in how to contact people. Not to arrest them, not to condemn them, not to judge them, not to have any superiority complex. Do you remember that? Do you practice that? Do you adjust yourself accordingly? You don't humiliate people. You minister Christ to all kinds of people with a loving concern and with sympathy and compassion, with a humble and meek spirit. Do you remember that? Are you doing that? 57, lesson 57, on the elders' evaluation of people. We do evaluate. But how do we evaluate? How did the Lord himself evaluate? Naturally or spiritually? In love or just in our, with our intelligence? We, as elders, are put in a role of oversight. Oversight, the watch over. Implying care. Implying protection. The saints' spiritual condition should keep us awake at night. The sheep's condition, the flock's condition, should constantly be on our hearts. So, brothers, I just like to say, we all need to go to the Lord on this one. That is our heart for people and a habit of contacting them. Frequently, regularly. and all kinds of people, how much we have to learn. I say again, if you don't have the disposition of nearing people, of endearing people, of being concerned for people and going after them in a proper way, then you really, really need some help. And it is, if it's a dispositional matter, then you need a lot of help. A lot of help. Because you're disqualified. I can hire an accountant to do the church books, you know? Really. Actually, I don't need to. It's too high power. Our accounting is so simple. Just a few checks. And a bookkeeper can do it. It doesn't need an elder to do it. What do we need elders for? Make announcements? Write checks? Keep books? That is a fallen, degraded thinking. An elder is there to serve the saints, to care for them, to minister to them. And as we will see today, to minister to the sinners, the new believers, the young, the weak, the backslidden, all kinds. That is what the elder should be doing day and night. But we got it wrong. We need to relearn, and the new brothers among us, young brothers, I hope you don't need to relearn. From day one, you learn it right. Let's come to lesson 58. The spiritual responsibility of the elders, number one. One. Could you read? Let's read together. One. The spiritual responsibility of elders is primarily the preaching of the gospel. The New Testament shows that the preaching of the glad tidings is the fulfillment of the New Testament priesthood. So it is very clear, very, very clear, couldn't be made more clear, that the responsibility of an elder is the preaching of the gospel. Now, I think we may have a limited understanding of the preaching of the gospel. We think the preaching of the gospel is just standing at the street corner, passing out tracts, or just going to the campus to sign people up, or just put out a BFA table somewhere. No, these are all preaching of the gospel, but that is step one of gospel preaching. Gospel preaching, the highest form of gospel preaching, is fruit bearing. To bear fruit. And that is so, that is not just contacting people and just getting people saved. That is a great thing, but that is not the end. It is the whole process of bringing a sinner to God, and even offering the sinner as a sacrifice to God, sanctified. It is to bring someone through the process of knowing the gospel, receiving the gospel, obeying the gospel, believing in the Lord, and then being saved and regenerated. But you don't stop there, as we will see in these lessons today. To begin to what? Help them, shepherd them, bear them as babes, as newborns, infants in Christ. To give them the milk of the word, to help them to touch the human spirit, to help them to know the Lord, to pray, and become a child of God in God's house. To be in the meetings, to serve the Lord, so on and so forth. That's the energizing priestly service that Paul was talking about in Romans 15, 16. So when you think about preaching the gospel, think that way. All right. A, the noun priest in Greek, this is in obviously in Romans 15, 16, means a laboring, struggling, energizing priest. I love all these adjectives. Laboring, struggling, energizing. We should struggle and be very energetic because we know that Satan's goal is to frustrate the spreading of the gospel. This is too clear. If you think the gospel is easy, then you are wrong. Even today in Germany, wonderful things are happening there with the refugees. But only those brothers there can tell you how hard it is on the ground. On the ground. You know, those who go there for a week or two and then goodbye. Now you migrate there and stay there in Dusseldorf, in Stuttgart, in Berlin, in Frankfurt. Then you are in a struggle. Then you are in a real toil and labor to bring and establish these ones in the church life. It takes great energy, great energy. Brothers, let's summon that energy within us to preach this gospel. That is the responsibility of an elder. Of an elder. B, the primary thing that every co-worker, elder, and serving one in the church must do is to bring forth fruit. If we don't have fruit bearing, we cannot have the increase, and if we do not have the increase, we cannot build up the body of Christ. I tell you, fruit bearing, or rather, gospel preaching, is directly related to the building up of the body. Because it is by the gospel preaching and fruit bearing that we gain the materials for God's house. So no fruit bearing, no increase, no increase, no building. Please do not separate gospel preaching as something over here and the building of the church is over here. No. The genuine full preaching of the gospel is the building up of the church. Two, in the New Testament, the sequence of the divine economy is very meaningful. I'll just read through them. Even before the Lord Jesus presented himself to the public, John the Baptist preached the gospel to gain sinners, offering them as sacrifices to God to be the members of Christ, that God in his economy might have the church as the body of Christ. B, after this, the Lord Jesus came himself and repeated what John had preached. He dovetailed with John's ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens has drawn near. C, then Jesus appointed the apostles. Now Jesus turned around and appointed apostles. There were 70 of them, I think, in Luke. And send them, apostles means the sent ones, and send them out to preach the gospel. Why? Because of the spread of the kingdom, which eventually is for the building up of the church's body. We need more sinners to be saved. We need more sinners to become sons of God. We need more sinners to become members of Christ and of his body. So preach the gospel. The elders have to lead in this matter. They have to do it themselves. So the saints can follow. D, after his resurrection, Jesus charged his disciples saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and disciple all the nations. I don't need to get into this so-called great commission that the Lord gave to his church. E, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was established, the first thing the disciples did was to preach the gospel. The first thing. First thing first. F, the Apostle John stressed fruit-bearing in his gospel, telling us that we are the branches of the divine vine, the organisms of the triune God. As his branches, our first responsibility is to bear fruit, our first duty. If the elders themselves don't bear fruit, they don't even have a good conscience to tell the saints to do so. We lead by example. We lead by doing. You say, I don't know how to bear fruit. I have not borne a fruit. Now is the time for you to seek the Lord and deal with the Lord. Until you do, you have no excuse. No excuse. We're not talking about you saving hundreds of people and bringing scores into the church life. No, we're not saying that. But as a leading one, you should have that heart for the gospel. You should be speaking the gospel, speaking the word of the truth, the gospel of salvation. You should be bearing certain ones in your heart, gospel candidates. You should bring them to the Lord by helping them to be saved. And you should be raising them up as mothers and fathers, those new babes, newborn in Christ. That process, let me tell you, brothers, that process, if you don't have a personal experience of that, I would say you're not qualified. And I said personal. Someone cannot experience that for you. You have to know how to bear a child, a spiritual child, and how to raise him or her up. When I was I was never appointed, but anyway, that burden was upon me in the very beginning. This is when I was 26, right? In a small church there. It was not a church to start, but that was raised up in Southern California. Day in, day out, that's all I did. You know, there's not much books to keep, you know. It was so small, the church. We don't have meeting hall to clean, mortgage to pay. We were just meeting in some women's club. I have no checks to sign, basically. And announcements are very simple. That means I'm jobless as an elder, according to the degraded definition. Day in, day out, all I did was to preach the gospel. And on the campus, in that particular instance, there was the leading at the time under Brother Lee. And even I took 1 year, I was working as an architect already in Newport Beach. I took 1 year out. I told my boss, please give me 1 year off. No pay. Leave without pay. I want to spend this 1 year to preach the gospel. And that's what I did. We have no full-timers at that time, so I just kind of made myself full-time. And I quit for 1 year and just preached the gospel. This is with my wife and some saints, opening our homes. And we gain many of these young people, not as a matter of boast. Some of these today are key co-workers in the Lord's recovery. And I can tell you, that was the beginning of my learning to care for people, sinners, to, you know, the amount of time we spend at the dining table, changing diapers, sitting with them in a car until 3 o'clock in the morning to help them through crises. That's how you help people. And no amount of instruction in this training, under this roof, will teach you that. You have to do it. You have to go there and be on the ground and get your hands dirty and find out what it means to gain a soul, what it means to care for someone, really care for someone, regardless of their, you know, problems and situations. Do you know that? Or are these just black and white? I'm sure a good number of you do this. I'm very thankful for this. And that's why I keep hitting check signing and announcement giving. That's, you know. It's about people, brothers. It's about people. Okay. In Romans, in Revelation, John speaks not of the fruit-bearing branches, but of the priests of the New Testament in the church, the kingdom age, and in eternity. The branches bearing fruit is the real service of the New Testament priesthood. The branches bearing fruit, please remember this, is the real service. You say, I am here to serve the Lord. What do you want me to do? Sweep the floor? What is to serve the Lord? The real service of the New Testament priesthood is to bear fruit, remaining fruit. The ultimate number, the ultimate stats sheet is that your fruit would remain for the extension and expansion of the true vine, that divine organism, the increase of Christ. That's what we're doing as elders, okay? In Romans 15, 16, Paul said that he was a New Testament priest. What does that mean? One, he offered the sinners saved from the nations as sacrifices to God. Two, he charged all the New Testament saints to offer themselves as living sacrifices. This is the multiple definition of sacrifice, which Paul took the lead and set the example to offer to God. Number one, nations of sinners. Number two, saints, saved saints, offering themselves as sacrifices. That's part of that offering. Three, Paul's concept was that he was working on the believers for Christ, ministering Christ to them that he might present them full grown in Christ as sacrifices to God. Not only beseeching the believers, as in Romans 12:1, present your bodies. That is the initial presenting. The final presenting is in Colossians chapter 1, 28 and 29. To present men, save people, full grown in Christ. If you have experience of caring for people, you will know that it never ends. In a way, you don't pass anybody on. When someone is under your care, it's almost like he or she is under your care forever. You never lose heart for them. You want to see them full grown. For as the New Testament priests, we should offer to God the sinners saved through our preaching of the gospel after being saved. They become members of Christ, and since they are members of the corporate Christ, we offer them as sacrifices to God. I think this is clear. The priest's job is to offer. In the Old Testament, it's the bulls and goats. In the New Testament, it is Christ, not just Christ individually, but Christ corporately in the form of these saved ones. The high point of Peter's epistles is the portion concerning the priesthood. We're going to cover that a lot in this upcoming Labor Day conference. One, as a New Testament priest, we must be built up into a corporate priesthood to tell out the virtues of God. To tell out is to preach, and some of the virtues are God's grace, love, kindness, forgiveness, and light. Now, this is in verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 5 talks about actually the holy priesthood, with much emphasis on the building of that priesthood. Whereas in verse 9, it's on the royal priesthood with its focus on the function of that priesthood, which is primarily to tell out the virtues, to minister, to preach, to share, to dispense the virtues of God. Two, we have to go out to tell out God's virtues that people may be called out of their darkness into the marvelous light of God. This is to bring them into the kingdom of God. Three, by this we can see that the first responsibility a local church must bear is to tell out the virtues of God, who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. That is the commission for every local church in Northern California. J, in the New Testament, the preaching of the gospel is given a high place. The first thing in a local church should do, the first responsibility it should bear, is to disciple the nations, to preach the gospel, to gain sinners. By the way, this word disciple implies that our preaching of the gospel is to make rebels into subjects of the kingdom by the process of discipling. So again, the indication here, it's not a once thing, getting someone to call on the Lord, done. No, it's a discipling process. And what follows this word, disciple them, there are two things. Number one, baptizing them. And number two, teaching them. That's how we disciple a person into the kingdom. Three, could we read together three? The spiritual responsibility of the elder is to take the lead among all the members of the local church in gospel preaching. To get the new materials for the building of the local church. We're repeating the same thing again, or rather, Brother Lee was repeating the same thing, concept or burden. That is, the responsibility of the elders is to take the lead among the saints to preach the gospel, to gain new materials. As we go on in the coming months and years in the Bay Area, we will be very, very much concerned about this. But as you will see, not just in get you all stirred up and charged out there to do 2 hours gospel preaching. No, not in that way. But in a deeper, more long-lasting way. Okay, let's go on. A, we must go to get materials. Haggai 1:8 says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house. No wood, no house. Little wood, little house. Much wood, more house. We need wood. All kinds of wood. B, the elders must go and gain sinners as materials to build up the local church. To gather the new materials is to bear remaining fruit. And to get sinners saved for spiritual sacrifices of the gospel offered to God as members of Christ. We we talk about this already. See, the elder should take the lead to fulfill the New Testament priesthood of the gospel. However, many elders feel the first thing they must do is to take care of the affairs of the church. This is the natural human concept. It is not something of revelation. We need a full change. We need a change in the churches, in the recovery. Because to some degree, this has become the situation. D, after one becomes an elder, the first thing he should do is to go to tell out the virtues of God, who has called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. Then he can offer the saved sinners to God as sacrifices and as the living members of the body of Christ. Now, there are many ways to tell out the virtues of God. We should tell out the virtues of God not only to sinners, but to saints. I'd like to say a word now to certain brothers we have recently appointed into the eldership in the churches. I'd like to say a word to you. I already said the day you're appointed is not a day of celebration, but a day of mourning. You should not have a party that night because you became an elder. I think that night you should fast. Lord, what happened to me that I became an elder? Now, my point here is this. For these brothers, now that you're appointed, now what? Now you're given the checks to sign. Now you're given the role to give announcements. Now you stand up before the saints more officially. Now you're an elder. Is that it? Is that it? Now, these things is okay. I'm not against them. But that is not the intrinsic. That's not what the appointment is for. You could do that even if you're not an elder. We have plenty of brothers who give announcements who are not elders, and they do actually a better job than the elders. That's not it. Brothers, new elders, have you had the thought that now is the time for me to contact and even introduce myself to every saint in the church? By visiting them. By going not to say the new elder has arrived, but by this poor brother have been drafted into this holy service. Now, by God's mercy, whether I like it, I don't like it, I qualify, I'm not qualified, as Paul said, whether I want to preach the gospel, I don't, I have been given the responsibility. Woe is me if I don't do this. And in that spirit, you go and visit the saints. Not to tell them there's a new boss now. Shameful. Shameful. But to humbly introduce yourself to the saints and say, brothers, brother, sister, the Lord has arranged some of us. We really don't know what we're doing. We need your prayer. We need your support. Something like this. I tell you, this will appeal to the saints' heart. This will endear yourself to the brothers and sisters. They will say, praise the Lord. Am I right? That we have brothers, finally, like this. They're humble, they're lowly, they have no claim for position. They care for us. They care for us. No one cares for us. You know, recently, you know, this big deal, recent, Obama didn't go to Louisiana, you know, the big flooding, right? A huge, huge disaster, you know, since Hurricane Sandy or something like that. And he didn't go. He was playing golf. He was doing his thing up north, his vacation. So Trump went there, right? Because this is politics. But my point is this. Politics on politics, the people respond. They even respond to politics. Do you follow me? Because these are human beings. Human beings are all have a heart. They respond to care. They respond to concern. They respond to love. And of course, in the church, we don't play this kind of politics. Please don't do that. We do things by the Lord's leading. We do things from a purity of spirit. We do things because we genuinely are concerned. So you begin to relate yourself to the saints, and in a small way, you tell out some virtues. Actually, that telling out involves not just speaking out, but the living out of God in his kindness, in his what? Gentleness, in his in so many areas. I think you get my point here. Five, for the New Testament preaching priesthood of the gospel, the elders must redeem the time by budgeting it to make a weekly schedule for the gospel. So if you don't do it with some kind of budgeting, some kind of planning, you won't do it. You won't do it. And by the way, let me say one thing more. This is why we need more full-time elders. Now, to sign checks, we don't need full-time brothers. We just need brothers who have some business sense and that kind of thing. But to contact people, that takes time. We need brothers that are full-time. It's easy just to say, I got a burden, we need to build up the church. Well, who is doing it? Are you? Okay. A, to budget out time is to control a time and not to let it go. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, I'm into this very much because of these devices, am I right? I spoke a lot to the working saints, but this is not just a working saints problem. This is quite universal. Redeem the time, brothers, rather than doing all those things, contact people, preach the gospel. B, every day is a struggle to redeem the time. If we do not schedule our time, it flees away. We have no right to say that we have no time to preach the gospel. We must redeem the time. It's setting up time. So some churches now, every Lord's Day afternoon, am I right? They take 2 hours. Some families, I heard in Burlingame they're doing this. I heard in a number of churches. I am very happy about this. Maybe some saints that afternoon, some they could not go to the park, go there and there. Afternoon, 2 hours, they visit the saints. That is also a good practice. It's scheduled. You just do it, rain or shine. The saints are home. Or the people are in the park, whatever. It's so easy to say things that in the end we don't do it. And we come back, it's the same. Nothing has changed. Got to set the time. Got to schedule. And let be accountable to that schedule. Then something will be done. All right. The elders, five, must pray for salvation of all the acquaintances who are saved, who are not saved, yet the following and following the Lord's leading to contact them desperately for the gospel's sake. A, it is a shame for anyone among us still has acquaintances who are not saved. Our acquaintances are only a small group in the realm of our living. At least these must be saved. B, although we know that some people will not believe, we should not let this govern our attitude. C, George Mueller prayed for many people, and only two of those he prayed for were still not saved at the time of his death. However, even these were eventually saved. I think we all are quite short in this matter. But let us do something about it. Let us start. Always in our heart, he's not yet saved. That person is not yet saved. You may not be the one that the Lord would use, perhaps, to save this person, but you just have that kind of heart. That heart for sinners is just always there. And the saints can sense that, and they will follow, and your church will become a people-loving church and a gospel-preaching church. I think among us, we don't have that much experience that unsaved people will cause us to weep. But if you sing some of these songs on preaching the gospel and sing them, you know, like Fanny Crosby's song and others, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, even just these two sentences, You touch the heart. It's not an admonition to preach the gospel. It is a burning heart for the lost souls. That sense of urgency, that sense of desperateness reveals a burden. Let gospel preaching not be a work among us. Let gospel preaching be an extension of our heart. Yeah, how much have we wept for sinners, for souls, for someone who is not saved that is around you? And no wonder they're still not saved. No one has wept for them. No one has pleaded with God for their salvation. No one has prayed for them. 6, the elders must seek new sources of sinners as their gospel candidates. A, the source of our acquaintances may become exhausted. We should then seek new sources. B, we may ask a friend to recommend his friends to us. We must find a way to gain more sinners. Actually, if our eyes are lifted up, we can see white fields everywhere. Number 7, the elders should lead sinners to know the main contents of the gospel. This I will just read through. It's not, we should be equipped with this so that we know what to speak to people. For the New Testament priesthood of the gospel, the elders should lead sinners to know God as the source and creator of the universe, the unique supreme being in the entire universe, and the only one God for our worship. I'd like to recommend to you as a starter, you know, we all know the mystery of human life, right? That book. So I don't need to recommend that. I'd like to recommend to you a set of gospel booklets. You almost don't need anything else as a starter. You just need that. And that's what we call the Moscow booklets. Moscow booklets. They are all different colors. The first one is just God. There is God. That's this point number one. The second one, I think it's on the Jesus is God or something. And number third one is the what? The something on the redemption or the work of Christ or the person of Christ. I forgot. Something on what Christ has accomplished in his redemption. These are all basic pillars of the gospel, teaching of the gospel. And then another one on the Bible, the Word of God. Because they were in Moscow, you know, these are atheists. To establish the authority of the Word of God is an integral part of our gospel preaching. Even in this country, it's a new form of atheism called humanism, right? That basically is anti-God. There are many who are either atheists or what is the other word, the agnostics, who subscribe to the existence of God but are ambivalent who that God is, etc. So we need to be equipped with these things. And then there's another little booklet on the Spirit, is that right? Or eternal life? Yeah. And then the last one is the meaning of human life. Altogether, maybe seven or so. Those were Brother Lee's subjects, which some brothers helped to put together and gave those messages again and again in the Moscow and what is the other city? St. Petersburg. I was going to say Stalingrad, you know, St. Petersburg. So you say, I don't know these things. Get those booklets and study them and get them retained in you and use that to preach the gospel. Very, very, a lot of illustrations, a lot of, a very helpful way for you to speak the gospel. All right? Okay. B, they must also lead sinners to know Christ as the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is God, that little book. To be our Savior, who was crucified on the cross for our sins and resurrected from among the dead to be our life for our regeneration. Now, these are pillars. The main doctrines, the main teaching, the main points of the gospel. See, the elders must also lead sinners to know man's sin and sins, sin in man's nature and sins in man's behavior. D, they must lead sinners to know God's salvation by man's believing in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, as his Savior and life. And needless to say, the point about receiving the Lord, repenting of their sins, opening their heart to receive the Lord into their spirit, and then to experience, to have the forgiveness of sins, and so on, are all part and parcel of this gospel content. They must lead sinners. Oh, I read that already. Finally, E, these points are the main contents of our gospel that we should preach to sinners. However, we have to preach them in different ways according to the different persons we contact. Much, much to learn. Much, much to learn. Even the Lord Jesus preached to different people in different styles or in different ways according to that person, where he is, the gender, the condition, the need. And there's a lot to learn about being discerning of the person that you're speaking to. See, no wonder many of our gospel preaching didn't go anywhere. People just blank face or you don't have a way into their heart because we have not learned these things. There's a lot of skills involved. And these skills only can come through learning. There's an experience, you know, with Watchman Nee, where there's a bunch of brothers there trying to get someone saved. After a long time, that person would not get saved. So then they turned him over to Watchman Nee. A few minutes later, they came out of the room. That person was saved. I don't think Watchman Nee worked some miracle. Rather, I believe Watchman Nee had the way. With his much contacting of people, his discernment, the right dose, the right way, he gained this person. Amen?
Amen.
I think this is a very, very needful lesson. It's 10:11 now. I think it is good for us to have some prayer. And then we can have a a break. I think Don can tell us what to do. Okay, how about don't just pray. How about we spend 3 or 4 minutes to pray, not 30 seconds. 3 or 4 minutes in some deeper prayer of consecration with your neighbor. Amen. Amen.